one day.
A blessed Resurrection Sunday to all our valued listeners, wherever this broadcast is heard. May the living Christ be a reality to you this blessed Easter Sunday morning. I want to be looking at the theme, the risen Christ is still making a difference in the life of humanity. I want to repeat that. The risen Christ is still making a difference in the life of humanity. On behalf of our church, I wish to express our deepest thanks to Federal Motor Spirits for their continuous support of sponsoring this broadcast for so many years. Our church continues to be grateful, and our prayers are that multiple blessings will be bestowed on Federal Motor Spirits throughout its history. Once again, we are eternally grateful for your consistent support. God bless you, Mr. Aline, and your family. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the limitless love shown to humanity on the cross. Indeed, Paul reminds us, scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Peradventure for a good man would one dare to die. Oh, but you commended your love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Thank you, Lord, for the resurrection from the grave, which empowers us who were dead in trespasses and sin. Empower us to find new life in you. May your word bring renewal to some heart this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, I make these requests. Amen. Praise God. In Matthew 28, verse 5 and 6, we read, "But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he's going before you unto Galilee. There you will find him." Hallelujah. The risen Christ is still making a difference in lives today. Still making a difference in lives in 2023. It may surprise you to learn that there are still questions from detractors as to if Jesus really raised from the dead. There's still questions of, is the resurrection a fact? And one of the reasons why these questions persist is because the resurrection of Christ is a fundamental tenet of our Christian faith. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead according to the scriptures. And we accept that as a reality in our faith. Hence, we see Paul, in speaking to the church at Corinth, reminding them, emphasizing, you find that in 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 19, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And we are a people most miserable. You see, the resurrection confirms there's one supreme being with ultimate power and authority over life and death. His name is called Jesus. Hallelujah. Actually, he's the only authority over life and death. Throughout history, there has been the attempt to deny the authenticity of this miraculous, powerful event called the resurrection. And we see it as early as in very Matthew 28, 11 to 15. We observe the conspiracy to deny the victory and power of God over death and the grave. If you were to check there, you heard the plan to deny what happened. And that continues to be the case. Several studies are still done, students of theology and Bible study students are confronted with several theories which are being floated as explanations to discredit the Christian understanding of the resurrection. H.L. Hester mentioned a few. You imagine that there are still those who hold to the view of what is called the swoon theory. The swoon theory suggesting that Jesus did not really raise from the dead. He only fainted. There was not the actual death. He only fainted. Oh yes, there are those who still espouse such theories. But we believe firmly, without any excuse, that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, conquered death, conquered the grave. But they also have theories such as the fraud theory, and they espouse the disciples really stole his body. These are some of the theories that are out there over the years in their weak attempt to undermine our Christian faith. Then they have the theory of the mystic theory, which seeks to suggest the women made an error as to the tomb they visited. I guess by now you may be smiling in your heart, but these are what is actually discussed in some very serious places. And then there are those who seek to suggest, they call it the vision theory, seek to suggest that the disciples and the women were overcame with hallucination. It was only in their minds. This visionary experience was only in their minds. Oh, but those of you listening to me this blessed Easter morning, I want to suggest to you that the risen Christ, hallelujah, the risen Christ is still making a difference in the life of men and women. The risen Christ is still making a difference in the life of teenagers. He's still making a difference in the life of all humanity. The risen Christ is still doing today what he did on his resurrection day. And I want that to settle in as we expound on it. But the risen Christ is still doing today what he did on resurrection day. In the text, the angel said, "He is not here, he's risen." But I asked myself, he's risen, but where he is? On that specific point in time, where he is? Can I say to you this morning, he was offering hope. He was offering hope to two broken and disappointed disciples. He was offering a reunification of the faith. Luke 24, 13 to 35 gives us an account. These two persons were faithful followers, and they were in a state of bewilderment. Cleophas, study suggests Mary was the person who accompanied him. Their faith was in a state of bewilderment. They were in shock at the events of Jerusalem. They were wondering, where do we turn for a new Messiah? In one of the texts, it is suggested that in the conversation they said, "We thought he was the one to come. We had settled that he was the one. We had settled that this was the Jesus promised by the prophets. And we believed in him. Where was he? He's not here. He's risen, but where he was, he found himself on the road to Emmaus to comfort disciples. Can I tell you something this morning? This same Jesus wants to enter your space this Easter morning. He wants to enter your space this Easter morning to renew your faith. Like those on the road of Emmaus, he left his grave, he left the tomb, and immediately sought to rescue. And he's still doing that today. As I said, they were walking, but you may be driving in your car. You may be on your cycle. Wherever you are, the spiritual has come by to say to you, this same Jesus who left the tomb and moved to Ephesus to restore hope to brokenness also seeks to renew your faith. He moved to reestablish fellowship with those who felt as though the fellowship was broken, who felt as though there was no more Jesus, there was no more hope. He moved to reestablish fellowship. He's doing today what he did on the day of his resurrection. Right in your kitchen, right in your bedroom, right in your home, right as you listen to the radio, he wants to reestablish broken fellowship. He wants to renew trust exactly as he did to the brothers in their brokenness. The risen Christ still wants to heal your marriage. The risen Christ still wants to give you an unshakable confidence in him. Perhaps there's so many excuses you can provide as to why you are acting the way you are, as to why you have withdrawn from ministry, as to why you no longer assemble yourself. The risen Christ, hallelujah, is still available. He's not here. He's risen, really is. He's seeking to reestablish the faith of his disciples. He may say to me, Pastor, I've become so cynical. I've become so skeptical of all I'm hearing, and I'm now consumed with doubt. The risen Christ still comes to you. He's not here. He's risen where he is. He's offering an invitation to Thomas. And he's saying, Thomas, I tend to understand that you become skeptical about matters. I understand that you're bitterly disappointed, but I'm going to come over to you to give you an opportunity to see for yourself my very wounds. I'm going to come to your place so I can reestablish your faith, so I can renew your hope. The risen Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is still moving to and fro to reestablish hope. This morning, he's brought that hope right into your homes, to the medium of his word, to remind you that the resurrection story is not just a mere story. It is an event, a fact of life that has impact today. It is able still to change lives. He's not here. He's risen where he is. He's there. The disciples go and tell Peter, I want to meet him. Well, Peter represents one who felt as though there was no more hope left. Peter represents those who left the fold and who fell under the pressure of whatever circumstance it was. The resurrected Christ is the great restorer. Hallelujah! The resurrected Christ is the great restorer, and he longs to restore you to the fold this morning. As you hear his word today, there's nothing in your life that is beyond repair. We're speaking about the Son of God who conquered death and the grave. The creator and governor of the universe is able to meet any need that you might have this morning. He's still moving to and fro to touch the lives of those who are in need. An old songwriter said, no grave was able to keep him down. I say this twice, but I want to repeat it. He's doing today exactly what he did on the day of resurrection. Just where you are, how I wish in your own words, you say, Christ, I don't fully understand the story. I've heard the theories. I've been in the discussion. But whoever you are, wherever you are, can you come into my situation now? Can you come to my sick body now? Can you give me the definitive experience that you give to Thomas? Can you give me the definitive experience that you give to those two broken people on the road of Emmaus? Because this morning, Lord, you may be saying, I need some empirical evidence to move me from my state of lethargy. I need some empirical evidence, Lord, that my faith can be renewed. I've been hurt. I've been broken. Can I tell you something? The resurrected Christ moves into those situations based on love, because of his love for you, because of his love for the world. The whole process of death was because of his love, because of his care. You know, Dr. George McDaniel, in a book called The Supernatural Jesus, stated some principles which I want to share a few with you about the whole concept and idea of the resurrected Christ. He reminded us there that the resurrection demonstrated his deity. And when we speak about deity, the idea that this fully God and this fully man taking the body of humanity and coming to walk among his creation died. Indeed, as he said, he is the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Our Master, our Savior, he is not here. He's risen, but where he is, moving to lives, moving to homes, moving to situations. There's nothing too hard for him to do. The resurrection demonstrates the completion of redemption. That's why there's such a big attempt to undermine the reality of the scriptures. It completed the redemption plan. Paul, in speaking to a group, said, for God was in Christ, cleansing us from our sin. Now we serve one who has the keys of death and life. The resurrection demonstrates that Jesus loves us. It demonstrates that Jesus loves his people. Jesus loves the world. So, Pastor Yard, what the completion of redemption means? The completion of redemption means that I now can have any wrong forgiven by the Creator of the universe. It means I do not have to go and kill a sheep or a goat and put the blood and have some ritual. It means that I merely have to confess my sin to him, and he who is faithful and just can forgive me. It means that there's forgiveness in my broken marriage. It means there's forgiveness for my iniquity. It means there's forgiveness for my sin. It means that the things that I'm so ashamed about and I'm beating myself for, I can stop beating myself this morning and say, Jesus, I surrender to you and I seek your spirit to come and cleanse and forgive me and give me the peace and the grace that can only be given by you. Resurrection completes redemption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The risen Christ demonstrates the believer is risen with Christ, and that the Christian life is the outliving of the in-living Christ. That's why we speak of the Holy Spirit now living in us. And that's what he promises on the resurrection before he goes saying, I've completed my earthly duty, but I'm going to leave a comforter with you, which is the Holy Spirit. He will commune with you. He will guide you. He will speak to you. He will operate the life of your mind. And oh my God, he will protect you. He's not here. He's risen where he is. He's going where he's needed most. And I want to suggest to you this morning, every time we need him is today. We are seeing before our eyes the dismantling of all virtues. We're seeing before our mind the slide of our moral horizon. Our moral line of demarcation has dipped. But the resurrected Christ is still available this morning. Hallelujah. So he offers hope. He offers clarity of purpose. That's what he does. He restores. He renews. He brings life fresh. Whatever state of doubt you're in, it offers hope. Do you know that hope is one of the greatest virtues you can have when you still have hope? When Aaron, regardless of what the picture is painted before your eyes, regardless to the report, they still hope. And sometimes our biggest fear is death. And to have hope, even in the face of death or after death, that's what the resurrection is about. And that's what the Christian faith is about. We refuse to give it up. I know that these questions, how can the Christian God come and die? How can the Christian God be made to be treated that way by his creation? But you see, our experience is not just in theory. The resurrected Christ interacts with us. He communes with us. Actually, we believe that because Christ risen, the Christian life is now, as I said to you, the outliving of a living Christ. He lives in us. Can a man live in you? His Holy Spirit interacts with our mind. Interacts with our spirit, interacts with our will, guides us, protects us, leads us, helps us to determine right from wrong. And you know what, this morning, his victory is the victory of all who believe in him. The risen Christ is still making a difference in the life of humanity. Let him make a difference in your life. This wonderful Easter morning. He's not here. He's risen where he is. Offering hope. Rebuilding faith. Reestablishing relationships. Touching lives. And that was not just in Galilee. Right here in Barbados this morning. Right wherever you're hearing this broadcast. He wants to offer hope to you. This blessed Easter morning. Almighty God, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the pain you bore. Thank you for giving me life, making life abundantly available to all humanity. Thank you, Lord, that your death on the cross means that salvation is now available to every man, girl, boy, child, from any age, any location. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for the price you paid. Thank you for the resurrection power which you transfer to the body of Christ. No, you say, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So for that household who need you desperately this morning, that wife, that husband, that family, may they sense your divine presence among them even now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We want to invite Sister Kimberly Jimon to come and share with us about our Nazarene Day, which is coming very soon. Thank you, Sister Kimberly. Please share. For Nazarene brothers and the wider public. Thank you.
Good morning to everyone and to all my Nazarene brothers and sisters. Nazarene Day 2023 is fastly approaching. It will be held on Friday, the 28th of April. This is our National Heroes Day at the King George V Memorial Park, Ruby, St. Philip, between the hours of 9:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. On this day, we are going to have the following events. We're going to have worship ministry, sports, games, and athletics events, which would include cricket, football, netball, basketball, road tennis, relays, tug-of-war, egg and spoon race, sack race, three-leg race, card, and board games. We are inviting you to participate in these sporting events. In addition, we are also going to be having a health and wellness clinic and a business exposition. I am eager to see all of you Nazarenes as we come together for a day of fellowship whilst fostering and building relationships with members across the Nazarene district. We are encouraging all Nazarenes to wear their zone colors on this day. Hope to see you there.